Amen. Luke chapter 8. Tonight, as was already announced, I want to deal with another one of the lesser knowns we meet with in Scripture. And the lesser known, is the subject of our study tonight, is Mary Magdalene. We read about her here in Luke chapter 8, as we've already read about her in John chapter 20. We read the first three verses then of Luke chapter 8. It came to pass afterward that he, that's the Lord Jesus, went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and so as well as the 12 disciples, there were others with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. We said this morning that our subject tonight is, Oh, how I love Jesus. And when we look at Mary Magdalene, we'll see a woman who was truly in love with the Lord Jesus. When we read through the 4 Gospels, we will find the name Mary Magdalene quite a few times. The name itself means bitter. Mary means bitter. And yet none of the Marys that in the Gospels proved to be bitter individuals. Indeed, as best as we can determine, we read about 7 Marys in the New Testament. 7 Marys. We, of course, have Mary, the wife of Joseph, and the mother of the Lord Jesus. Then we have Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Matthew 27, verse 56. Then we're told about Mary, the wife of Cleophas. John 19, verse 25. She is followed by Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. John 11, verse 1. Another Mary is the mother of John Mark. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12. Then the Apostle Paul mentions a believer in Rome called Mary, of whom he said, who bestowed much labor on us. Romans 16, verse 6. That brings us now finally to this Mary, whom we want to consider. Another one of the lesser knowns. Now you can say, well, I've read about Mary Magdalene, but as was said in the past about these individuals, what do we really know about them? What do you know about Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene. She's called Mary Magdalene, meaning that she came from a town or a village called Magdala in Galilee. This shows that when Magdala was mentioned in conversation, people would have thought immediately of this woman, Mary. Her name is synonymous with her hometown, Mary Magdalene, Mary of Magdala. She was obviously well known perhaps because of her former life and how she lived, as we will see shortly. But when she met the Savior, and the Savior transformed her life, she was known, Mary Magdalene, for a very different reason. When the Lord saved her and transformed her, the people of Mary, the people of Magdala, where Mary was from, people of Magdala would have said, "Oh, that's that woman who met the Lord. Oh, that's that woman whose life was changed by the Lord Jesus Christ." And so let us consider this woman, Mary Magdalene. Everything that she did, everything that Mary Magdalene did, seems to say, "Oh, how I love Jesus." We will see that as we study this woman's life. So let us see how Mary expressed her love for the Savior. And indeed, when we look at Mary Magdalene and her love for Christ, let us, every one of us, follow her example. First thing I want to notice about Mary Magdalene is Mary and her deliverance. Mary and her deliverance. Luke introduces us to this woman here in the portion of scripture we read, those three verses. Now some have attempted to say that this Mary Magdalene was the same woman who came into the house of Simon the Pharisee and stood behind the Lord and wept and anointed the Savior. We read about her there in Luke chapter 7. And there in verse 36, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And a woman, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind them, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment." As I say, there's been an attempt to say this is the same woman, that was Mary Magdalene. And I'm afraid there is no, absolutely no evidence whatsoever to say the two women were the same person. That which is similar between the two is that they both loved the Lord. As the Lord said of that woman who anointed his feet, "She that was forgiven much loveth much." That could be said about Mary Magdalene as well. And that's the only thing in common between the two women. And so here we want to look at Mary Magdalene. First of all, regarding her deliverance, let us look at her salvation. We're told that Mary was a woman who was possessed by seven devils. Now we know that in Bible numbers, seven is the number of completeness. And so when you apply that to this woman, Mary Magdalene, it tells me that her life was completely under the control of devils. She was controlled by devils, seven in all. She would have had no power over those devils. Instead, they had power in her life. Seven devils, like the demoniac of Gadara. We know how the demoniac of Gadara, who's commonly just called Legion, he was possessed of a legion of devils. We know the mess that the devil made of that man's life. Driven from his home. His home was in a graveyard. And he went about cutting himself night and day. There's no rest, no peace for him. Cutting himself night and day. All the times people had come out to try and tame him, and they chained him. But the devil has power, and the devil broke the chains. That was until the Lord came. And the Lord made a once only trip across Galilee to Gadara. We never read of Christ going to Gadara again. He made a once only trip over to Gadara. And there he met Legion. And he cast out the devils. And he delivered the man. He saved the man. And he was a transformed individual. And the man who had run about really like a madman in the graveyard. And people were afraid to go past the graveyard because of him. When the townspeople came out and saw this same man sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Where was he sitting? He was sitting at the feet of Christ. He was a changed man. The Lord had dealt with the devil in that man's life. It sure is not what the Lord does with us all. We may not say, oh, we're possessed with seven devils, but the devil controlled our lives in our unconverted days. And maybe you look back on your unconverted life and say, I did the silliest thing. It was the devil. And what he did with Legion, and here we see that this woman, Mary Magdalene, was possessed of seven devils. But when the Lord Jesus comes upon the scene, the devil to Jesus must bow. Every time, the devil to Jesus must bow. And whether it's a host of devils, a legion of devils, or seven devils, they all must bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And seven devils in the life of Mary Magdalene. Sometime, somewhere, Christ ushered them out. Notice the wording of verse 2. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Notice the wording. Out of whom went seven devils. See, when Christ comes into a life, the devil has to go out. When Christ came into the life of Mary Magdalene, we're told, out of whom went seven devils. The seven devils went out. You see, Christ and the devil cannot live and abide under the same roof. They cannot live and abide in the same heart or in the same life. It's one or the other. And when Christ comes in, Satan, the devil, must leave. Praise the Lord. He must go. When the seven devils went out, that was the moment that Christ came in. There you have her salvation. The Lord saved her. As well as her salvation, we notice her service. Her service. We see that the Lord had delivered other women, we're told, from evil spirits and infirmities. Together with them, we're told that they and many others ministered unto him of their substance. There you have the service. Wanted to see something here. If you were to go through the Gospels, even get a concordance, and look up the references to Mary Magdalene, you will find that in all the references, except one, in all the references, Mary Magdalene is mentioned first. Whenever the gospel writers deal with the women who ministered unto the Lord Jesus, you'll find the name of Mary Magdalene comes first, except for one occasion. And we'll see that one occasion, a very important occasion, later on in her study, but she's always first. So here we have these women, certain women, which had been healed by the Lord, and evil spirits had been cast out and healed by their infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. They ministered unto the Lord. And Martha and Mary Magdalene's always mentioned first. There's a lovely thought there. That whenever it came to service for the Lord, Mary Magdalene was at the head of the list. Mary Magdalene never tailed back. Mary Magdalene was never at the back of the list. The Lord needed something done. Mary, you could say, was the first to volunteer. She was ahead of all the others. Was that not a proof? An indication that this Mary loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. And whenever it came to serving the Lord, Mary Magdalene was first. Regarding her service, wanted to notice, she followed the leading of the Lord. She followed the leading of the Lord. Look at verse 1 of Luke 8. And it came to pass afterward that he, the Lord Jesus, went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And we read in verse 3, along with Mary Magdalene, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Do we not have something there that is most commendable? As well as the disciples being with the Lord, this group of women were with the Lord, including Mary Magdalene, as the Lord Jesus went through every city and village preaching the gospel. The women followed him. Mary Magdalene followed him. Wherever the Lord led, that's where Mary Magdalene was. He went throughout every city and village. Now we know, any study of the Gospels, we know that the Lord Jesus was always busy. Always busy. The night cometh, he said, when no man can work. But what we have here in Luke chapter 8, and these three verses do not tell us all the story regarding the Lord's ministry and the lady's ministry unto him. Turn please to Matthew 15. Mark 15. Mark 15. And verse 40. And there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph and Salome. Mark these words. Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. So when did Mary Magdalene and the other women begin to minister unto Christ and begin to follow Christ? When he was in Galilee. Now here in Mark chapter 15, where do we find the women now? They're in Jerusalem. And how far is it from Galilee to Jerusalem? From Galilee to Jerusalem, it's about 110 miles. And these women followed the Lord, the leading of the Lord, all the way, ministering unto the Lord Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem. Mary Magdalene, as I said, her name was always mentioned first. So here we have Mary Magdalene when it came to service in those 100-odd miles from Galilee to Jerusalem. Mary Magdalene led the way. Mary Magdalene led the way. She's mentioned first in Luke 8. And she's mentioned first there. In Mark 15. And both references show the leading part that Mary Magdalene played in the Lord's service. She was a woman who was prepared to go anywhere. She was prepared to go wherever the Lord led. She followed him. She walked behind him. And of course, when anyone loves the Lord, when anyone is in love with Christ, they will go wherever the Lord leads. Where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so. For I remember it was for me that he was slain on Calvary. When we think of what Christ has done for us, surely to follow him is not much to ask, is it? Mary Magdalene was in love with the Lord. I think what we have seen thus far proves that. She loved the Lord. She followed the leading of the Lord. But notice, we're not told anything about what she said. You read those words there in Luke. And Mary Magdalene is silent. She didn't do a lot of talk about what she was doing or what she was going to do. No, she was a very humble individual. There's nothing said, recorded there about anything that she said. Just turn over the page to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's quite a statement. But then the Lord responded to that statement. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And you don't hear but from that man again. And he said unto another, follow me. And so this man said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And what was the Lord saying in response? He was saying to that man, there are sacrifices to be made. Look at me. Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And we don't hear from that man again. No, he wasn't prepared to go all the way with Christ. He wasn't prepared for the sacrifice. But Mary Magdalene was. She was prepared to go all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem, ministering unto the Savior, perhaps making meals for him, even though, of course, we know the Lord could turn stones into bread. Then he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. But he condescended to allow other to look after him in that way, to minister unto him in that way. And here's Mary Magdalene, and without any talk about what she was going to do, or what she did do, to serve the Lord in silence, and just got on with the work, ministered unto him from Galilee to Jerusalem. Over 100 miles. No public transport, no this. As well as her following the leading of the Lord, we see also she fervently labored for the Lord. Not only were Mary Magdalene and the other women followers of Christ, they weren't just mere followers. They ministered unto him as they followed, walking with him over those many miles from Galilee to Jerusalem, as I said, possibly preparing meals for the Lord each day. Mary was like another Mary. And we read about in Mark 14, verse 8. She came and anointed the Lord with precious ointment. And the old arch traitor, Judas, cried out, "What a waste!" It shows you Judas had absolutely no love for Christ. Here was this Mary, and she was anointing the Savior with precious ointment, and Judas thought it was a waste. But the other disciples joined in the criticism. You see, the evil influence an individual like Judas had amongst the disciples, they also criticized her. But praise the Lord, Christ came to her side and said, "Let her alone. Let her alone. She hath done what she could. Let her alone. She hath done what she could." Mark 14, verse 8. And of course, anyone who is in love with the Lord Jesus, love with the Savior, will always, listen, will always do what they can for Christ. And you know, that's all the Lord expects. No, he doesn't expect, no, he hasn't called everybody to go to the mission field. We all have mission fields at home. Hasn't called every man into the ministry. We all have a ministry at home. And all the Lord expects from us is that we do what we can, and do what we can for the Lord. Notice Mary and the others ministered unto him of their own substance. So there was sacrifice involved here. Of their own substance. What they possessed themselves, they gave it to the Lord. They gave it to him in their ministry. In other words, whatever they have, whatever they own, whatever they possess, they used it in the service of the Savior. J.C. Ryle, first Protestant Bishop of Liverpool, great man. J.C. Ryle said, true love will count it a pleasure to give anything to the object loved. False love will often talk and profess much, but do and give nothing at all. That's very true. True love will count it a pleasure to give anything to the object loved. In this case, Mary Magdalene loved Christ. True love will count it a pleasure. Mary Magdalene counted it a pleasure to give all that she had to Christ, the one she loved. False love will often talk and profess much, but do and give nothing at all. It's the difference. We love the Lord. We'll give to the Lord. We'll give to the Lord's work. Give. The Lord Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And how this woman, Mary Magdalene, was well rewarded. Mary Magdalene, give all that you have to the person you love, and she loved Christ. As well as her salvation and her service, you see also her Savior. Her Savior. Remember, others, including the disciples, had followed the Lord from Galilee. But here we see where Mary's focus was. Look again at verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him. There you have her focus. Ministered unto him of their substance. All that they did, all that they gave it to him, and they did it for him. And Mary Magdalene, as we pointed out, led the way. What a wonderful woman this was. But she served a wonderful Savior. Ministered unto him. No doubt she would have helped the disciples out, but her focus was always Christ. He was the center of her focus. As we will see, no matter where Mary was, she was always focused on her Savior. She went with him. She walked with him. She waited on him. She watched him. And she wept over him. She did. She wept over her Lord. It appears that there was no one else in her life. No one else is mentioned regarding the life of Mary Magdalene. No one else but Christ. I must say, I was blessed studying the life of Mary Magdalene. It warmed my own heart as I thought of this woman and all that she did for the Lord, and how she loved the Lord. She could say with Paul, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." And you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, following his conversion there on the Damascus Road, and without a doubt, Paul could say, "For to me to live is Christ." Christ was his life. You look at Mary Magdalene, and the Lord Jesus Christ was her life. No one else is mentioned. Christ is her life. We consider Mary and her deliverance. Want to look at Mary and her dedication. We'll not get all of this point developed tonight, but we'll do that next Sabbath evening, God willing. Mary and her dedication. For this we'll liken the turn to Mark 15. Mark 15. We've seen Mary Magdalene. She followed the Lord from Galilee to Jerusalem. No, she didn't drop out somewhere along the way. That's a long way to walk. It's a long way to go. It's a long time to be ministering. But here we have the Lord Jesus in Jerusalem, and Mary's there. Mary's there. She went with him all the way. Remember that day in John chapter 6, when the dear Savior looked at a number of his, well, professing disciples. And we're told many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many. Yeah, we know the Lord Jesus is God. He's also man. You imagine how disappointed the dear Savior was when he turned and watched those men, those professing disciples, walking away, walking no more with him, and he turned to the 12 and said, "Will ye also go away?" Peter says, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Thou hast the words. They wanted to be with the Lord to hear his word. And there was the Lord, and many went back and walked no more with him. That was not the case with Mary Magdalene. She walked with the Lord and followed the Lord from Galilee to Jerusalem. And here she is, now she's in Jerusalem. Chapter 15 of Mark, verse 40. Then were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also when he was in Galilee followed him, and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Jerusalem. She has followed the Lord. I know other women did, but since we're dealing with Mary Magdalene, we'll just focus on her. She followed the Lord all the way to Calvary. That's where the women are. They're there. Look at verse 40 again. There were also women looking on. There you have her presence. They're at Calvary. They're at Golgotha. And we're told they're looking on. There you have her presence. Just a few words written here about Mary Magdalene being there at the cross. But how those words speak so profoundly about Mary Magdalene. This is seen first of all in the leaving. They were followers of Christ. Mary Magdalene followed Christ. And where did he lead them? Give this. He led them to the cross. That's where they are. They're present there at Calvary. And when they left Galilee, they ministered unto the Savior. They followed him every mile of the journey, and he led them to Calvary. And there they are, standing, beholding afar off. We who are followers of Christ, isn't that where we always want to be led to? Don't we want to be led to the cross? Don't we want to be led to Calvary? Think of it. What would our worship services be if we came to God's house and were never, through the preaching of the word, were never led to Calvary? We're never told about the cross. We're never told about the blood and the atoning sacrifice of Christ. Well, the Lord led Mary and the others to Calvary. What do we often sing, especially when we have the Lord's table? King of my life, I cry thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned bride, lead me, where? To Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. That's where the Lord led Mary Magdalene. Is that not our prayer? By God's grace, and the minister of the word here, I will always endeavor to lead men and women to Calvary. To speak of Calvary, refer to the Christ's finished work, one way or another. Lead me to Calvary. May that always be our prayer. Regarding her presence, we've seen the leading. We see here the loyalty. We'll have to close with this point tonight. Her loyalty. Perhaps after seeing all what cruel and wicked men did to the dear Savior, we may not have expected women to be there. Those Roman soldiers were rough, ungodly, uncouth men. And how they treated the Lord. Just read Matthew 27. When they took possession of Christ, the things they did to him. But the women were there. Mary Magdalene was there. And they took him out. And they stripped him. And mocked him. And put a rod in his hand. And bowed the knee. Took the rod out of his hand. And smote him on the head. And we'll find it out before. The tense of the words there is, they smote him again and again and again. They kept beating him on the head. And Mary Magdalene was there. Her loyalty. No! Disciples weren't there. None of the 12. Of course, Judas wasn't there. But none of the 11 were there. Ah, but Mary Magdalene was there. Her loyalty. There were those In verse 29, they were told merely pass by. They just passed by. Wagged the head. Just looking at them in disgust. Not Mary Magdalene. Mary stayed there. She was loyal to Christ. The chief priests and the scribes mocked him, pouring scorn upon him. But Mary remained loyal to the Savior. There were 3 hours of darkness that engulfed the whole scene. Mary was there at the beginning of the 3 hours. Mary was there at the end of the 3 hours. She was still there, looking on. The loyalty of Mary Magdalene. While others were ashamed of him, while others abandoned him, while others did not want to be associated with him, Mary Magdalene was still there, looking on. As she looked on, she would have seen above his head, as he hung there on the cross, above his head, a superscription. King of the Jews. Mary could have said amen to those words. Mary could have said, he's my king. And I intend to be one of his loyal subjects. He's my king. So Mary was not ashamed to own her Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. Back in Mark chapter 8, and with this I'll close tonight. Mark 8, and verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, I'll be ashamed of them. That would not be addressed to Mary Magdalene. There she stood through all the events that surrounded the cross, and she's still there looking on. Believe her study there. At this point, we've looked at her leading and her loyalty. Next week, we'll take up the study and consider her love. Oh, how I love Jesus. Could easily have been the words of Mary Magdalene. And the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let's now pray. O loving and gracious eternal God, we rejoice in Christ our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who loved us and gave himself for us, the one who said, no greater love hath any man than this, the man laid down his life for his friends. And we think of Mary Magdalene when she looked on that Savior. She undoubtedly would have thought about what that Savior did for her, delivered her, saved her. It was the least she could do. She certainly did what she could. Dear Lord, write thy word upon our hearts tonight. May we rejoice in Christ our Savior. May we endeavor to do what we can for the Lord. Increase our love for the Savior. Now, Lord, be with us as we leave the Lord's house. May thy good hand be upon us for good. Keep us all healthy and well and safe in our troubles. Lord, again, rid us of this pandemic, we pray. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now. And until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. In the dear Savior's name we pray. Amen.